Hi, I'm Dave DeWitt, and today I'd like to consider what the Bible says about Christians discipling one another in the first century church. First, a definition. Biblical discipleship is the act of one person intentionally impacting the life of another person in the direction of Christ's likeness, with the thought that they'll teach others also. Now, I want to make 20 brief observations. Rather than read the biblical passages, I'll only list the scripture that supports the observation. So let's get started. In the first century, number one, discipleship was cross-cultural. Romans 10:12, we'll look at Galatians 3:28. And Christianity was unique in that it was not tied to any culture. It was not identified with any country, nationality, or people group. For example, the first Christians were Jews, but Christianity was quickly separated from Judaism. The other world religions are culturally, racially, and nationally tied. Number two, discipleship was theological conversion, not biological reproduction. 2 Timothy 2:2. Christianity was not spread biologically. Actually, celibacy was recommended. Most religions grew primarily by biological reproduction. Christianity grew by discipling people theologically. Three, discipleship was disconnected from any worship structure or worship center. For example, what Jesus told the woman at the well in John 4:21-24. Christianity was not connected to any temple or mosque or sanctuary. It was not associated with any liturgy, priesthood, religious calendar. Christianity was a fellowship of believers. Number four, discipleship was a unique strategy commanded by a unique Savior for a unique religion, Matthew 28:18-20. As a mode of operation, discipleship was not commanded or even possible until the church age, where all believers were priests, Revelation 1:6, indwelled by the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:4-9, filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, and gifted by the Holy Spirit, Romans 12:6-8. Number five, the training of disciples was not to run the kingdom of Israel or any other kingdom or organization, but rather to launch the church. Matthew 23:8-12. Jesus did not train his disciples in politics, government, organizational operation, or administration. He trained them in theology, morality, evangelism, discipleship, and sacrificial service to an equal brotherhood where the more mature served the less mature. Number six, the disciples were to represent Christ to the world, not reach the world for Christ. Matthew 28:18-20. Acts 1:8-2:39. The apostles were to be Christ's witnesses to the world, but they were not to reach, convert, or serve disciples of the masses. To reach the world, they'd have to change the Word of God because the world hates the Word of God, John 17:14. Number seven, the focus of Christ and his disciples was on those who wanted to grow to maturity. Hebrews 5:14. For example, if we represented all of those who consider themselves Christians on a graph where up is a desire for discipleship, it would look something like a triangle. The further up you go, the less people there are. The focus of Christ and the disciples was on those at the top of the triangle. By the way, it seems that most of our Christian organizations today focus on a large group at the bottom. Number eight, discipleship was all about the individual, not the community. Romans 12:4-1. The church was seen as individual members of a body, not people assembled into a community. The word community never occurs in the New Testament. A body encourages each individual to develop excellence. A community takes from the motivated individual and distributes to the unmotivated masses. Number nine, discipleship was incarnational. People with people in the flesh, 1 Thessalonians 2:7-8. Discipleship, one-on-one or in small groups, was a person focusing on another person personally. Number 10, discipleship was reproductive. 2 Timothy 2:2 would be a good reference. Discipleship was not about adding to a particular group, meeting, or organization. Neither Christ nor the apostles ever organized a large meeting. Christianity spread like the growth of the mustard seed. Number 11, discipleship was rational and factual. Several good references in the book of Acts, Acts 17:2-4, for example. Discipleship was a rational discussion based on real historical events and factual evidence, not mysticism, leaps of faith, or private, unsubstantiated spiritual experiences. Number 12, discipleship included winning the right to be heard, 1 Thessalonians 2:1-12. The apostles spoke in synagogues, public places, and then moved on. But with those who responded to the gospel, they won the right to be heard by investing themselves into lifelong relationships. Number 13, disciples came from a network of lifelong relationships, Romans 16:3-16. Most of Jesus' disciples were already believers in the Old Testament sense before they followed him. His first five disciples were recruited through a network of relationships, which began with two disciples of John the Baptist, Andrew and John. Discipleship for the apostles came from a fellowship structure which could be within the same city or across the Roman Empire. 14. Discipleship sharpened the discernment of the disciples. Matthew 10:16. One of the most significant aspects of discipleship was to increase the believer's discernment. Every New Testament book except Philemon warns about false teachers or false prophets. Discernment was morally and theologically judgmental and intolerant of false teaching. 15. Discipleship included some who stayed and some who left, Matthew 13:10-13, John 6:65-66. Jesus and the apostles focused on those who wanted to strive for excellence. Those became their lifelong friends. Number 16. Discipleship meant counting the cost. Matthew 10:35-37. Discipleship meant putting Christ's likeness above the things of the world, including family relationships. Number 17. The disciples had different backgrounds and personalities, but the one thing they had in common was that none of them were part of an established religious system. Very few established religious leaders were disciples, like Nicodemus in John 3:1. Some disciples were secular people like Levi, John 5:37-39, and the woman at the well in John 4. Most disciples were people who already knew something about God and were seeking a closer relationship with him. For example, this was the case with Stephen and Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and Paul and Barnabas and Timothy and Titus and John, Mark and Apollos, and the uninformed disciples of Acts 19, Priscilla and Aquila, and most of the converts from the synagogues. Number 18, disciples were kept from worldly behavior, not from worldly people. John 17, 11 to 17. The goal of discipleship was not to make believers into monks. It was to keep them in the world while being able to discern and navigate the pitfalls of the world. Number 19, discipleship meant understanding and teaching the word of God, like the good seed of Matthew 13, 23. Reproductive disciples were not just those who attended gatherings or were involved in Christian activities, but those who understood the things of the Word of God. And number 20, being discipled meant imitating the life of the discipler, but only to the extent that he or she imitated the life of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 and 2, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. No one doing discipleship is perfect, so discipleship was always about following Christ. But the reality is those being disciples were also looking at the life of their discipler. So the apostles told people to follow them as they followed Christ. Thank you for listening. A longer paper on this subject with footnotes and the scriptures is available on our website, relationshipconcepts.org.